So good to worship with you. Isn't that so great, seeing new life in Christ? What a highlight for sure. I want to welcome all of you that are joining in online and you are dialed in for the Word of God today. I pray that the same spirit of joy and celebration that's here would be where you are today. I want to ask, well, finish this famous phrase. If you snooze,
you lose,
right? Every day we're bombarded by messaging, urging us to action, aren't we? Right? Act now. Don't wait. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't hesitate. Right? Hesitation can cost you. How many of you have ever missed out on a limited time offer because you hesitated? Right? Or get it while quantities last. Maybe you missed out because you hesitated. Some of you today, we are urging you to sign up for life groups because we know that spots go fast. Right? So take that as your warning. Don't hesitate. Sign up today. A moment of hesitation in traffic can cause an accident. This week, hunting season open. Any hunters in the house? Right? If you hesitate, you might miss the shot, right? Believers, we know that hesitating on an act of obedience could lead to a missed opportunity. I've shared with you before that my biggest regret in ministry came from a moment that I hesitated. I got asked to go and visit a young girl in the hospital with leukemia, and my fear and insecurity and my, I don't know what to say, what will I do, how will I address this, caused me to hesitate. And I went home that night, and the Lord challenged me. He said, Jeremy, are you a pastor only when it's pizza parties and kickoff Sundays? Are you a pastor only when it's fun and easy? Or are you a pastor when it's hard? And I repented. I said, okay, geez, I'm sorry. And I went back the next day, and she'd already been transferred to another hospital. I hesitated. It's one of my biggest ministry regrets. You know, there's a lot of reasons why we hesitate, don't we? We hesitate out of fear, right? We fear that we might fail. We fear that we might be rejected. We fear the unknown. Sometimes we hesitate out of uncertainty, right? We're uncertain what the outcome will be. Maybe we are uncertain about our ability to rise to the challenge. Maybe we're uncertain about the people that we're dealing with. You ever been doing business with somebody and you're like, I'm a little uncertain about them. They seem a little shady. Anyone ever dealt with some shady people? Right? Maybe we are uncertain that we have all the information we need, and so we need to give it more consideration. I have a rule. My rule is if you come to my door selling things, my automatic answer is no. I never buy anything from anyone door to door. I want to give it some more consideration. But some of us take that to the next level, and we hesitate because we overthink. Any overthinkers in the house, right? Some of us hesitate out of habit. Procrastinators. Some of us put the pro in procrastination. Mark Twain famously say, why put off till tomorrow what you could put off till the day after tomorrow? If you have your Bible, I want to look at a New Testament story today about some disciples who probably regretted their decision to hesitate, and one who maybe wished that he had. And we're going to look at this story from three different perspectives. We're going to look at the three gospel writers. We're going to put the story together from the three gospels. The same story with three accounts adding unique details. So if you want to turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and for context, right before this passage is that amazing story that many of us are familiar with, how Jesus took the loaves and the fishes and he blessed them and he fed the 5,000. And all the people were amazed at Jesus, our provider, Jehovah Jireh. And they were amazed. And this is what it says in verse 14 of John 6. That when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we've been expecting. And when Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and they headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water towards the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here." Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. I don't know what stands out to you in this passage. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to process here. But one of the big questions that stands out in my mind is this. Why'd they leave without Jesus? Like some friends they are. John says they went down to the shore and they waited for him, but when he was a no-show, they left him. How do you leave Jesus? And Jesus, what are you doing keeping that, holding everybody up, right? Now, this is where it gets interesting, because then you pull in the other gospel writers. We see that Jesus wasn't actually tardy. He wasn't holding them up. They were hesitating. Why would they get in the boat and take off without Jesus? Because he had told them to. They had just taken their sweet time getting around to doing what they were supposed to do. Look in Mark chapter 6, verse 45. It says, immediately after this, after the loaves and the fish miracle, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. And then after telling everyone goodbye, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Jesus wasn't holding up the disciples. He had told them to get into their boat and head across the lake. But instead of doing what they'd been told to do, they hesitated. Why? Who knows? Was it out of fear or doubt? Stubbornness? You know, maybe they were just like, we know better, Jesus. We'll just wait for you. It's a great question. Why did they hesitate? We could ask ourselves that question, right? Why do we hesitate when we know what Jesus has called us to do? To take that step of faith, to take an act of obedience, to let go of the things that are holding us back, to embrace the calling and the plans he has for us to share Jesus with the people in our lives. Why do we hesitate? Knowing what we know now, that the disciples were hesitating, let's look back to verse 18 we just read. It says, soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. Is it possible that Jesus knew the storm was coming? And if he knew, is it possible that he had tried to send his friends out ahead of it? I've read this story many times before, and I thought, why would Jesus send his friends into the eye of the storm? But maybe it's possible Jesus knew it was coming, and when he told them, he wanted them to get ahead of that without hesitation. Maybe if they hadn't hesitated, they would have missed it. And I wonder how often we find ourselves in hardship and difficulty in our lives, struggling to make the progress in the storms because we've been hesitating to act on the things we know God's called us to do. I thought we were having fun this morning, Pastor Jer. I want to encourage you today, don't hesitate to obey. Here's the amazing thing about Jesus. Even when the storms we're going through are of our own making, Jesus doesn't stand on the shoreline and go, guys, I tried to warn you. Should have done what I told you. Too bad, so sad, tough luck for you. Right? He doesn't do that. No, instead, he meets us in the middle of the storm. Says they had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, don't be afraid. I am here. How many are thankful that Jesus met you in the middle of your storm? How many are thankful that Jesus met you in the storm that was of your own making? Now, if you're comparing notes and you're reading these three gospels side by side, you'll see there's some important details in regarding to the timing. John tells us that they got into the boat as darkness fell. I don't know what time sundown was where they were, but sometime in the mid to late evening. But John says, or Mark tells us that Jesus appeared walking on the water at 3 a.m. Some time has gone by. They've been in the storm for a few hours now, and these professional fishermen, it says they'd only rowed 3 or 4 miles. So you know they've been hard at work for a number of hours fighting the wind, fighting the waves. They're working their hardest and making little progress. Have you ever felt that way in the storms of your life? And I'm giving it all I got, and I feel like I'm not. It's like one step forward and two steps back. I love how John puts it. Well, Jesus gets in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. There's a supernatural shift in momentum when Jesus gets in the boat. And I'm so thankful that Jesus took them further, faster. He got them towards where they were headed and where he had called them to be. On my vacation a few weeks ago, we had a chance to be in the ocean, and we were surfing and boogie boarding and body surfing, all that fun stuff. And here's what I discovered, that you need to fight the waves to get out to where you need to be, to make it out past the break. And you paddle and you swim and you go under and you're coughing and sputtering. It's a lot of work to position yourself. You ever see the surfers out there? They're sitting on their boards, right? They're just kind of paddling around, kind of positioning themselves. But then when they catch that wave, when you catch that front end, that wave pushes you. It pushes you further and it takes you all the way back in to shore. And what a thrilling ride that is to catch the wave. And I think even prophetically today, I feel like our church and the church of Christ across the world is catching a wave of the Holy Spirit, where God is doing something and he is pushing the church further and faster than it could ever get itself. We are positioning ourselves to be in the position of God's blessing, and we want to catch that wave, don't we? 99 years old, our church is. We're almost 100. And I want to be moving with the Spirit of God where he wants to take us. I think God wants to take us further, faster. We've been positioning ourselves in our hearts, in our spirits, in our leadership, in our finances. Lord, we just want to say, God, whatever you have for Bethel Church, whatever you have for the families of Bethel Church, God, we want to ride that wave of your momentum. We don't want to be working in our own strength, fighting the winds and the waves on our own. We want to catch that wave of the Holy Spirit. And as I was thinking about these baptisms, 15 today, that makes 51 this year. Amen. 51 is double what we did last year. How many believe we could do double next year? But it's not because of our own striving, it's because it's that wave of the Holy Spirit going ahead of us. Amen? Amen? Who wants to be positioned to catch that wave? Let's position ourselves. To see that happen, it takes personal steps of faith and obedience on our part. As we look at the story, there's a story within the story. John says immediately they got to where they were going, but he cuts out a whole other part. See, it's at this point that we literally see the disciple Peter jump into the story. And Matthew tells this part in Matthew chapter 14. Says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water. I just picture, like, you know, the hockey guys that go over the boards. I just picture him jumping over the boards of the boat. And when he saw, he walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. You know, the disciples may have hesitated to set sail, but there was no hesitation in Peter in this moment. Jesus, say come, and I'm coming. I'm jumping the boards. He was almost like offside or whatever that is. Too many men on the ice. He's just getting over there as fast as he could. What gave Peter the confidence to step out without hesitation? He trusted Jesus. Why did he trust Jesus? I think it's because he had been in some storms with Jesus before. See, that history gave him confidence in Jesus' authority. See, the last time they'd been in a storm together, Jesus had been sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And it wasn't until all the disciples were worked up that they woke him up and said, Jesus, save us, we're going under. If you remember that story, in that moment, Jesus simply stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and the storm immediately calmed. And it records the disciples' reaction that they were in awe that even the winds and the waves obey him. Peter's zero hesitation move to jump out of the boat wasn't because of confidence in himself. It was confidence in Jesus. He'd seen him in the storm before. God uses past storms to prepare you for future ones. Your last storm is probably preparation for your next step. So Peter doesn't hesitate. He's doing great. He's walking on water. He's doing it. I don't know if you've ever started out with bold, confident, obedient faith, only to take a few steps and then question, maybe I should have hesitated. Maybe I should have thought this through a little more. Right? You start second-guessing yourself. I can just picture Peter thinking, I got this. I know Jesus calms a storm just like he did the last time, but then he runs into trouble because he saw the strong wind and the waves and he was terrified and he began to sink. Here's the reality. The situation hadn't changed. Nothing had changed since Jesus had called him. Nothing had changed since he, with faith, jumped out of the boat. What changed is that, unlike last time, Jesus didn't do the same thing Peter thought he was going to do. Last time, Jesus made the wind stop. This time, there was no peace be still. No rebuke to the wind or the waves. The storm kept raging, and Peter wasn't expecting that. He had jumped out of the boat in faith, but the circumstances started giving him that sinking feeling that maybe he was in over his head. He needed a lifeguard. My third encouragement to you is don't hesitate to cry out. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And it says Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. I wonder how many painful moments of our lives, how many disappointments and discouragements and hesitation come because we doubt God. That's been the thing right from the Garden of Eden, the first sin. The serpent said to Eve, doubt God, doubt his goodness, doubt his plan for your life, doubt his ability to care for you and provide for you. We see that play out here again. Why did you doubt me? Hesitation to cry out to Jesus in repentance, in prayer, and surrender only results in keeping you under the weight of the storm. Under the weight of sin and brokenness and despair. But Peter doesn't hesitate. He calls out to Jesus. And I love this. It's that Jesus is closer than you think. He says immediately, Jesus grabbed him. There's no reason to wait until you're drowning to call on Jesus. Don't hesitate. Call on him today. 2 Corinthians 6 says this, indeed the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Church, I want to encourage you today, don't miss out on what God has for you. Don't delay the freedom or the blessing of what God has for you because of hesitation. Peter didn't have time to weigh the pros and cons. He didn't calculate the wind speed or gauge the water depth or even the water temperature. Jesus said, come, and he stepped out. And when things didn't go the way he thought they would or the way they thought they should, when he started to sink, he didn't hesitate to cry out, Lord, save me. You know, I just want to encourage us as we're kicking into this new fall season that none of us would be like the disciples on the beach. Having received the orders and the charge from Jesus to get into action, then just hesitating, waiting. Don't hesitate to step into what God's called you to do. We often look at Peter and his lack of faith, and it's often been said that there were 11 other disciples in the boat who never got out. This morning, I want to encourage you not to hesitate, to step out in faith and obedience to what God is calling you to do. Sometimes hesitation comes because we're waiting on the perfect moment. We're waiting on the perfect conditions. I want to tell you, there's never a perfect moment. There's never perfect conditions to step out in faith and obedience to what God has called you to do. You step out in those imperfect moments and you find that Jesus is right there. Jesus is calling you. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're sinking. All you see is the storm of the life around you. Don't hesitate. Cry out to him today. He's closer than you think. In fact, his hand is already reaching for you. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here today because you've been thinking about it. Maybe you've been considering it. But maybe you've been hesitating. And your uncertainty has kept you on the fence. Today, let this be the nudge to tell you that today is the day of salvation. Today, don't wait, don't delay, don't hesitate. Today's the day to experience the peace in the storm that only Jesus could bring. So here's my call today. Jesus is speaking to you. He's calling you to respond to him by giving him your life. He's calling you to step out of that boat in an act of faith or in obedience. He's calling you to go like those disciples across what seemed to be an insurmountable storm. Set out, trusting that he will meet you. He will be there in the storm with you. Don't hesitate. And if you are feeling God calling you to give your life to him in an act of surrender and obedience today, don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. What a better way to kick off this fall season than to kick it off with Jesus by your side. Church, I think the only fitting way to honor the one who never hesitated to give his life for us is to not hesitate in living our lives for him. Sometimes that means steps of obedience, acts of faith. Sometimes that means stepping out even when the situation has us uncertain, even afraid, knowing that in the midst of it, he is there with us. I'm excited to catch the wave of the momentum of what the Holy Spirit has for our church headed into our 100th year of ministry. I'm more excited for what God has for you and for your family and for your children and for this community as a wave of the Holy Spirit washes across this area. Are you excited for that? Amen. Amen. Would you just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, as we head into this ministry season, I pray for our youth ministries, children's ministries, seniors, life groups. I pray for our community engagement. God, I pray that in every way, everything we do as a church would honor you, bless you, lift up your name. And I pray, Lord, as we show grace and love and mercy to those who don't yet know you, I pray, God, that there would be a momentum sweeping across our church and region. God, of people coming to know you, I pray, God, just like you doubled the baptisms this year, I pray you would double the baptisms next year. God, we'll do baptisms every month if you want us to. Thank you, Jesus.